Should we start with that, Abdallah?
I like my job.
Lucky Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. How about this? We have White Sox baseball coming up in 28 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. The Guardians and the White Sox, game two of this big series. Tyler Aki will have the pregame show coming up at 6:30 right here on ESPN 1000. Lance Lynn on the mound tonight. He has a 7-5 record with a 3.99 ERA. But last night, Abdallah, the Guardians late take advantage of the Sox. They win it 10-7. And for all intents and purposes, it seems as if now being five games back, you lose the season series to the Guardians. Chances are the playoff hopes are now gone for the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, mathematically, they are not out of it yet. But yesterday, especially the way they lost, too, coming from behind, being up 3-1, then blowing that lead, and then being up, and then blowing that lead, and then, you know, it just felt like, It just felt like this exhale of like, all right, I've seen enough. And it you can still win today, and you can still win tomorrow, and still set yourself up to be three games out going into the final 2 weeks of the season and hope for some magic to happen. But now you've lost the season series, so with no tiebreaker, with no game 163, if you do end in a tie somehow, the Guardians have the advantage.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. At a certain point, when they tied the game, they came back up. I think it was after the Abreu hit, or maybe at some point late. Then you get you hit into a double play. Like, mm-hmm. the next batter hits into a double play, ends the inning. Yeah. It felt like throughout the season, each and every time when you have an opportunity to pile on some runs or put some distance between the Sox and another team, they always just give you one little single to mm-hmm. get the one run across, and then it's like, that's it. They never open it up and solidify a victory. Yeah. And that's kind of how you played last night. And obviously, you could go to the bullpen and blame some of those decisions mm-hmm. For the loss last night. But to me, it feels like throughout this season, we saw this tidal wave coming at us the entire summer.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes it sounds stupid. There are no stats to match it. But sometimes a baseball team has a vibe. And sometimes the vibes carry you through a summer, and you can just tell when a team has that winning vibe, and they kind of, it just happens for them.
Mm-hmm.
This team, the entire summer, it's been a bad vibe from the start.
Yeah.
Every single week we start, like, hey, maybe it's time they turn it on. And maybe they turn it around. Okay, maybe now it's time to get things started. And each and every time this summer, it hasn't felt right. Mm-hmm. From the manager, from the lack of hitting, from Giolito. I mean, he should have been much better throughout the season as well. So, I mean, there are just different points of this White Sox season that it has never felt right.
Yeah, and it, our party all the time mantra will have to wait until next year, once again, when hopefully my hope is now that we're looking to the offseason, essentially, right? Like, yeah, they could win, and you could still make something out of it if you get some help, but you have to add. You can't just go by and say, well, if everyone's healthy next year, then we'll have a productive season. Because the last 2 years, everyone has not been healthy the entire year. You can't rely on Eloy to stay healthy and Robert to stay healthy and Tim Anderson to stay healthy and a 57-year-old Jose Abreu, even though he's been the most consistent out of everyone essentially this year. But he's a free agent, so who knows what happens to him. So you have to go out and add. You can't just stand pat. I know they're spending a lot of money. They're like top, what, 7 in payroll this year? You have to go do something. You can't just sit around and wait and hope that everyone stays healthy, because over the course of the season, we've seen it time and time again. Every time something good would happen to this team, someone gets hurt.
So we have White Sox baseball coming up at 6:30. Tyler Aki will have the pregame show. Then you'll hear Len Casper and Darren Jackson with the call of the game. Tonight, Connor will be on TV with Jason Benetti. So you can check Connor McKnight out there for the broadcast this evening. So Tyler has a pregame show coming up in 25 minutes. You know, staying along those lines, we also had another news story here in Chicago sports based on kind of the same concept that you just mentioned, Abdallah. We were injured last year. We're standing pat. Mm-hmm. We're running it back. We'll get news today from the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls and guard Lonzo Ball will undergo arthroscopic surgery on his left knee in Los Angeles. The surgery is coming up. It will take place 8 months after his surgery in January to repair a torn meniscus. So Lonzo Ball hasn't played in a game since January the 14th. This will be the third time in his career Ball, who's 25, will have surgery on his left knee, something that hasn't healed from the spring, from the winter last year. We sat here talking to you on this show expecting him to be available maybe in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He wasn't. Over the summer, AK, Eversley, Donovan at Summer League seemed a little dodgy, maybe a little vague on what they were telling us during Summer League games about Lonzo Ball.
They said they thought he'd be recovering faster.
And we find out that Lonzo will undergo surgery again on his left knee. He will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks, the team announced today. So again, mark that down for the category of we were injured last year, we're running it back, we're standing pat. Because like that's the fear here is we are now pointing out to you how the White Sox season went.
Yeah.
When this is exactly how the Bulls are approaching this upcoming season, a team that we expect to take another step in the NBA playoffs, you lose in the first round to the Bucks. And your lead point guard, a difference maker on this team, 4 to 6 weeks after a surgery that he already had in January that he never recovered from. So he is having the surgery again. This is something to be worrisome for Bulls fans as we head into the new season.
Well, it's not just because of injuries. Regardless of injuries, standing pat in the East is not going to get it done because every team around you got better. Every team around you added, except for you. Okay, you and Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic, who's going to end up playing a lot of minutes now, it seems like, because Lonzo Ball is going to be out for the foreseeable future. So as of right now, they might, if Zach stays healthy the entire year and all this kind of stuff, like I think they're going to be the same team they were last year because they are. They're the exact same team, except the problem is everyone around you and a couple teams that were below you last year got better. And so, yeah, you can say, well, Zach will stay healthy all year and all this kind of stuff, but you don't know. And one of your major acquisitions from a year ago, Lonzo Ball, is not going to be starting the season with the team. He's going to be injured. He's going to be recovering from this surgery and whatever else he needs to do afterwards. And now they seem like a team that's just going to be, oh, they might make the playoffs. They probably will make the playoffs, but then what? Like, you have to do more. You can't just stand around and hope that, okay, we'll stay healthy and that will make us better. When everyone in the East around you is adding.
Yeah, you nailed it. And it's not just everyone around the East is adding. They're adding to chase championships. And the Bulls didn't really do anything in the offseason to add on that level. You can expect to keep Zach LaVine in the fold and hope that he takes that next step. But I don't think you can accept or expect the same from DeMar DeRozan in this season. Mm-mm. He played for the majority of last year like an MVP.
Yeah.
Did he finish the season that way? No, he kind of went back to what DeMar DeRozan kind of is. And he's a very good player. He's a star.
Mm-hmm.
Is he one of those top 15 guys, top 10 guys, superstar level in the league? No. And so this team is going to be built on a five-man unit, all kind of excelling together. And Lonzo's a part of that, and that's why this is concerning. Last season, he averaged 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists per game, shot 42% from 3 in 35 games. He also plays great defense. And the great defense from Lonzo mixed with Caruso, and then getting those guys, DeRozan and Zach, out in the open court, that's really where this team made some noise in the middle part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Start to the middle part, December, January, they were rolling for a good majority of those months. They were like the best team in the Eastern Conference in those months, and it was because the defense turning to offense. And this team is definitely going to need Patrick Williams to step up big. They're going to need some major development from Williams if this team's going to take it to the next level.
Again, that's a big if. And, you know, last offseason when they're like, okay, DeRozan's coming in, Caruso's coming in, and Lonzo's coming in, we said that's a concerted effort to get better defensively. And they have Pat Williams on the floor, too, and have him be better defensively. And the problem is that's a lot of ifs, and you can't rely on those because the majority of the time they don't come to fruition. I hope Pat Williams is better. I hope LaVine stays healthy this whole time. But it's the hope that kills you, Chris.
Oh, is it?
It's the hope that kills you.
Is it?
It's the hope that kills you.
Wow.
So a show that won a lot of awards that told me that.
Well, what about having a new hope? Could we have a new hope?
I don't think people like New Hope.
Why? People love it.
What's the New Hope?
It's the first Star Wars.
Oh, that's the first one? When they started making prequels and sequels and all this stuff.
Was that the first one or was that the second
one?
It's
technically the third, fourth one.
No. We're not doing the
I'm just saying it's technically the fourth one.
The first one.
Is that the one with the hobbits?
Yeah, no, it's
with the
one
dragons.
With, no, that's the third one.
That's the dragons.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
The third one's with the
one.
Hobbits on the little planet where they're little like Ewok guys.
All right.
That's the third one.
And then the fourth
that's
one has
the Jedi.
The fourth one has elves.
No, yeah, Alf.
Alf?
Yeah,
Alf was in the fifth one.
Yeah, he's
no
in the
one
fifth
liked
one.
Alf
yeah.
in the fifth
yeah.
one.
Alf was there. He was. They had a cat problem.
Yeah,
so he was there eating the cats.
Yeah,
for Luke and Leia.
Okay, and then the new ones have old Alf.
Well, he was roommates with Yoda.
Okay, and now they made a show.
Yeah.
About baby Alf.
No,
right?
no, that's Yoda, baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda?
And he's lost, so they have to get him home.
But is he going to eventually find baby Alf or baby Elf?
No, that's Elf. That's with Will Ferrell.
Oh.
That's a different franchise.
That's a good one, though.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it is.
I like Elf.
Yeah, because he eats the spaghetti with maple syrup.
He makes all the designs
yeah.
in one night.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to Tyler Aki and to Justin Rothman for producing tonight's show, Black and Abdallah. Check us out tomorrow from 10 to noon. That's right, Black and Abdallah. We'll be on after Cap and Jay Hood. When they end at 10, we'll be on in between Cap and Jay Hood and Carmen and Yurko tomorrow. So check us out right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. And Twitch this week is brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank, and we will be supporting Cap
yeah.
on his big walk tomorrow. Walk is one. So we'll be live tomorrow from Cork and Kerry.
Walk, 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 walk.
We should probably play that tomorrow.
Probably should.
We got tickets to give away. If you want to see Lamb of God with Killswitch Engage, that's right. This Saturday, September 24th at the Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom here in Chicago, we have two pairs of tickets. Callers 10 and 20 at 312-332-3776. Callers 10 and 20. You'll get a pair of tickets to see Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage.
Also, Baroness will be there, and they're really good.
Oh, you like them?
I do like Baroness.
What
they're
about
really...
Suicide Silence? They'll be there as well.
I'm sure they're excellent. I've not heard them, but I've heard Baroness, and Baroness is very good.
Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage. Have you seen Lamb of God or Killswitch?
I have seen all three of those bands that I mentioned.
Have
yes.
you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, at an Ozfest.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds like the right place to see
Yeah,
them.
It would be. Yeah.
312-332-3776. Pair tickets to callers 10 and 20. To see Lamb of God and Killswitch Engage this Saturday, September 24th, here in Chicago, the Aragon Ballroom.
Ooh, at the Aragon?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to get feisty.
Did you not hear me the first two times I said
it?
The Ballroom, yeah. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We have White Sox baseball coming up in 8 minutes. You can hear Tyler Aki on the pregame show right here on ESPN 1000. But here on the show each week, we like to go through the NFL and tell you who the five best teams are, and the five worst teams are. It's a segment we call Five Up, Five Down.
Up and down.
Five up.
High five.
Five down.
Down low. Too slow.
Five up and five down with Black and Abdallah.
Five,
on ESPN 1000.
And down.
All right, Abdallah, as we head into week three in the NFL, the five best teams in the NFL. Number five, I start you with the Green Bay Packers. They're 1-1. I'm throwing out what we saw from the Packers against the Vikings in week one. I think the team's defense is very good. They run the football. Aaron Rodgers, great. He'll figure it out with the wide receivers. I got the Packers at number five.
I have the Rams at number five. They beat the Falcons. I know they've lost a game. They're 1-1. But they're still the Rams. They still have one of the best coaches in the NFL. I like the way that they held on to that game and still, it was close, but they still held on.
Number four, give me the Philadelphia Eagles at 2-0. Their defense is very good. They're fourth in defensive yards per play. And I think that Jalen Hurts is coming into his own.
Give me the Bucks. Even when it looks bad, even when you have a fight, even when you don't have any weapons, Tom Brady still finds a way. That defense still finds a way too. So give me the Bucks at four.
Number three, I like the Bucks there.
Oh.
Their defense has only given up 13 points. I know it's only 2 weeks, but only 13 points to this point in the season. I have the Tampa Bay Bucks at number three.
I have the Eagles at number three. I'm very high on the Eagles. Yeah, very high on the Eagles. Love what I'm stealing from Jalen Hurts. If he continues that this season, whoo, watch out. Love my Super Bowl pick of the Eagles.
Number two, five up, five down, the five best teams in the NFL. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs at 2-0. They've beaten the Cardinals and the Chargers to this point this season. People are sleeping on Patty Mahomes. This team's the second best team in football.
Yeah, I also have the Chiefs. They're number four in DVOA, so I like the Chiefs at number two for me.
Number one, it's the Buffalo Bills. Duh. They are averaging 36 points per game. They're 2-0. They've beaten the Titans on Monday Night Football on Monday night. They just blew them out. This is a team that was in the playoffs last year. Completely demolished the Titans on Monday Night Football. The Bills, they're my number one team.
Same for all those reasons.
All right. Five up, five down. We go to the bottom of the National Football League. Number 28, give me the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts. They're 0-1-1. They were shut out by Jacksonville this week. Mm-hmm. That was pathetic. Give me the Colts at 28.
This might be my hottest take. Give me the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
Nathaniel Hackett is awful. I don't care how good Russell Wilson is. He does look kind of washed. But they...
Washed
that
Wilson?
That is awful. They looked horrible. Give me the Broncos at 28.
Number 29, give me the Commanders at 1-1. Their defense is 30th in defensive yards per play. They're terrible, and I don't trust Carson Wentz.
That's where I have the Colts. I have the Colts at 29. They're my pick to win the division. Doesn't look so good, but they got a lot of problems.
Number 30, the Atlanta Falcons. They're 0-2, and I expected more from Kyle Pitts. I thought Kyle Pitts was going to be a true stud this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've been bad so far.
I have the Commanders there for all the same reasons you had them in yours. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Houston Texans are the 31st worst team to me. They're 0-1-1. They're the worst offensive team in yards per play in the entire league. They'll be in Chicago this weekend.
I don't have the Texans in mind. That's where I have the Falcons.
All right, Falcons.
That's where I have the Falcons.
And number 32, I have the Seahawks as the worst team. You know why? They're 1-1. But the Monday night hype around Russell Wilson, or Washed Wilson as you call him, coming back home in the opening week, I don't buy it. Seattle's the worst team in the NFL.
They are not. It is the Carolina Panthers that is the worst team in the NFL. Matt Rhule's going to make a great college coach next year.
Nebraska?
Maybe.
All right, there you go. Five up, five down.
Up and down.
Five up.
High five.
Five down.
Down low. Just low.
Five up and five down with Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
And down.
Time for the song of the night.
I want to rock! Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
We're going to Nirvana!
My time with everyone I have very bad posture.
To Penny Royalty by Nirvana.
From 1993, In Utero was released today on this date in 1993. It's a little deeper cut from the album In Utero, but a great album from Nirvana.
It is. Hands down, their most depressing album because after it was released, obviously we all know what happened to Kurt Cobain afterwards.
Killing the young people. There's some Gen Zers listening who are like, we don't know. They would like the information.
He just went off into the sunset and retired. Right. A famous musician. No, he supposedly killed himself.
Why'd you do air quotes?
Because Courtney did it.
Allegedly. Jeez. You know you're on a broadcast.
I said allegedly.
Here.
I said allegedly.
What if she's listening?
She's not listening.
You never
fun
know.
Fact about this song, Chris, it was supposed to be the third single off of this album, but it wasn't because a month before it was supposed to be released, Kurt Cobain unfortunately took his own life.
Passed away.
This is a great album. This is great. Actually, the B-side to this single is one of my favorite Nirvana songs. It is a cover, though, but Where Did You Sleep Last Night is a great, great Nirvana song. Their version of it, obviously, because it is a cover. But this song's great. It's about, like, him being addicted to certain kind of drugs and how he had scoliosis and how he's late for interviews and all this kind of stuff. This is a very, very depressing album. It's very, very depressing.
Is there a reason that you want to go this way? Maybe in honor of what took place with the White Sox last night?
No, I love this. I love Nirvana. I love this album. I think that the other two singles off of it were too long for our time. We wouldn't have had time to do other things.
No, to be honest, we've listened to both of them earlier this afternoon. We're like, these are too slow.
Yeah, this is a little faster, and we can't play the one that we wanted to. the swear words.
All right.
It has a lot of swear words in it.
Nirvana, Penny Royal Tea from 1993. What's your song of the night?
Volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for
what dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
Tomorrow we'll be on from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki has the pregame show. White Sox and Guardians. Lance Lynn on the mound coming up next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdullah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.